Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Father, we thank you so much for your great mercy towards us. Father, we thank you for the outpouring of your grace upon this altar. Thank you that it is you that has sustained this altar and the incense till this day. And you will continue, O God, to sustain it, to fulfill your desires. Father, thank you for every vessel, every heart you have burdened with this assignment. Thank you for the faithfulness of your people. Father, your word will always come to pass, that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. You will reward your people. For those who sow in tears, we surely reap with joy. So thank you so much for again giving us the opportunity to be before your presence. Father, we ask for your anointing tonight to prevail over this line. And we pray that you will totally impact our life, oh God, as we seek your face tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming on the line this night. It's just amazing the grace that God gives to people with such heart and burden at this time of the day. Most of you have gone to work. You have so much to do, but you still prioritize the things of God. That really pleases God a lot. And we thank God for witnessing the kind of grace that has sustained 24/7 prayer altar over this nation these few years. Thank God for the graces poured upon the willing women. And those of you that have been so faithful on these Wednesdays and Thursday with ASLPN, God bless you. And we give God glory for what he's using your prayers to do. Again, we want to thank you so much for the consecrated, focused, sacrificial incense you poured on this altar on behalf of Nigeria. As you can see, the testimony of the international community that this is an unusual, peaceful election. Exactly what has been prayed on this altar is being testified that God has done. And we know that after we have prayed, we surrender to the Lord. God, you know, we say he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God knows the future. And so whatever he has allowed in office, you know, he's the one that sets up kings and thrones. So we have prayed, and the evidence of peace is always a sign that the hand of God is over something. So he who knows the future knows what he's allowing in place. So he knows what is coming. So we just have to continue to pray. And thank you for your prayers. It's a joy to witness the peace in such a time of transition. It has never been heard in Nigeria that an incumbent person will lose an election and be the first to immediately concede to that election as a loser. It's never happened. So only God could allow such humility and brokenness and peace to prevail over that atmosphere. So thank you. You can see the power of prayer, and God has used you. So thank you all so much for serving God in this capacity. I believe that with this example, you know, God will lead us in seasons of prayer similar to this as we approach the days that we are living in. There are so many things coming up on America, election season, all kinds of things. We pray that God will use this example to be God's army to really target things in future. So thank you all again, and we give God glory for what he has done. Tonight, I believe this is just going to be more a prayer, a prophetic prayer point. I'll just read a few scriptures and just remind us of what we're talking about last week, about seasons, about timing, about just the atmosphere we are in. So we want to pray prophetically into this atmosphere. We want to just agree with the Lord. that whatever he has prepared, that our eyes have not seen, our ears have not heard, for this season, because it's a window of time. So we're going to pray that God said in the book of Isaiah 54, 4, that there are things that our eyes have not seen that we want our eyes to see, the things we've not heard, you know, the things that God has prepared for us that are being revealed by his Spirit, but we want to see the manifestations of these things in this season. So we're going to pray into this season, but I just want to remind us again. I won't go into all we talked about last week, but I'm going to read a few scriptures so that we can focus in this area of prayer today for everyone on this line and for our families. Amen. Last week, we read a few scriptures to establish the fact that God has seasons and is mindful of this season, because the word of God really speaks very highly of the heart of God. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, that for every purpose under heaven, God has appointed times and seasons. So understanding of physical season will give us understanding of spiritual season. And we looked at some of that last week. So the scripture I want to read again about the impact of seasons when we really give ourselves to it is the scripture we'll begin with again tonight. And that is Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah was speaking in verse chapter 42, verse 18. It says, "Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Isaiah was prophetically laying a principle for transitions in seasons. This is a clear indication of a change of season. Something is old, new is coming. Something is dying, something is being born. Something has been in wilderness, is now coming into a place of fruitfulness, you know, into a place of a springing, into a place of water. So we see it's a language of transition. So I want to read a practical transitional season, and then we'll confirm this with the seasons we talked about last week, and then we'll be able to pray so that our prayers will be directly connected to this prophetic season. I'm reading again from the book of Joshua. Before I read verse, I'll read from verse chapter 4. I'll read from verse 19. But before I read this, just so you understand the background, and most of you already know that, Moses has led the children of Israel through a 40 years season. And that season just came to an end. And as that season came to an end, this whole season was 40 years of being in the wilderness. As that season came to an end, Moses was taken away. And God called Moses from Joshua chapter 1 and says, "Moses, my servant is dead. Now arise." And then he gave him a commission how to lead the people into their destiny, into their promised land. And God gave him a lot of promises. So Joshua took those promises and started activating the process. Now, it happened that the time God called Joshua and this particular response of Joshua, all this was beginning to happen in this season that we are in. I remember that last week we read Exodus chapter 12, where God spoke to Moses as he was judging Egypt. In Exodus 12, he told Moses, "Okay, Moses, now I want to do something that will cause Pharaoh to release you. I'm going to judge Egypt with the death of their firstborn." But this is going to be the beginning of months, the beginning of months. And he gave Moses the instruction of the 10th day and the Passover, and the Passover took place. So all those things happened. They came out of Egypt on that Passover. So we looked at that last week. So now, as God commissioned Joshua, and the process began. So Joshua now was given a commission and given a strategy. So they put the priest with the ark in front of them, and he told the people that God was going to do a miraculous work. And this was when God was going to magnify Joshua, just like he did with Moses. So at this point, the priest carried the ark. They crossed River Jordan in a miraculous way. The river parted like the Red Sea, and they crossed over. Such a great miracle. And so I'll read from verse 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. You know, here again, he's talking about the first month, which is this season, the Hebraic calendar for God's first month. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spoke unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever. See, this happened again in the first month. But let's read on. Let's read from verse chapter 5. And it came to pass, when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan west, ward under the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord has dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their hearts melted, neither were their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the heel of the foreskins. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised out of Egypt, but all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord swore unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised. For they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. That's the covenant God made with Abraham. Verse 8, and it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal up to this day. Rolling away. Verse 10, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even on the plains of Jericho. And they did eat And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes, parched corns in the same day. Verse 12, and the manna ceased. The manna ceased on the morrow after they've eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. Neither has the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat from that moment, from that time, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Cana that year. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said unto him, art thou for us or against our adversary? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what says my Lord unto his servants? And then, of course, the Lord started giving. He says, and the captain of the host said unto him, Joshua, loose thy shoes from thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so, just like Moses encountered God at his own commissioning, you know, experience. Father, I thank you tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your word. Father, open our understanding and just give us, open our eyes to see and our ears to receive by faith this window of time. And unction us, empower us as we covenant with this time, that you will manifest that which you have prepared for such a time as this in the life and the destiny of your people. So have your way tonight and give us understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, last week, we extensively covered just principles that govern seasons in many ways. It wasn't a coincidence that Jesus was being, when he was, the ministry of Jesus started, the transition took place from John the Baptist to Jesus, happened at River Jordan, and the Spirit of the Lord just came and rested upon him. That wasn't a coincidence that the same Moses transitioned things to Joshua, and right there Joshua just crossed Jordan, and here God was empowering Joshua to move into the promised land after crossing Jordan. And then, if it's a coincidence, why Elijah was also leaving, just like Moses left, and here John the Baptist, you know, Elijah was leaving, and here the shift of mantle came to Elisha as right there in the crossing of Jordan. So we looked at that last week. So there are things God does that are not just coincidence. So, but one thing that is stable, just consistent, is seasons. God has established it, and we looked at it a little bit last week, both the physical season and the spiritual season. So we can't go too far into that. So what we want to do today is just look at some of the provisions that are in the windows of season. There are certain provisions that we can yield ourselves in prayer, we can covenant with, that God has prepared for such seasons, and we can receive through prayer. For example, in winter, it's cold. In summertime, it's hot. So those are things that you expect. Those are things that you can prepare for. You can receive during those seasons. Winter, you can bypass cold. Summer, you can bypass hot heat. So spring, you see how. So these are, in the physical season, the same thing with spiritual season. Like I said last week, everything is available every day of the year. But like birthdays, every day of the year is not your birthday. It's a covenant day. Even though you can do many things you do on your birthday every day of the year. So that's how these seasons are. They are windows of covenant, and they are prophetic seasons of the Lord. So here we looked at the very time God chose After 400 years of the children of Israel being in Egypt in bondage, why he chose this beginning of months, this season, to establish what we now call, the Bible calls, history has established as the Passover. He established it with Israel forever. And certain things happen on this Passover. And then we see again, when Jesus came, we see Jesus coming, the spiritual coming again to establish something in this very season, this window of time. Jesus came and did fulfill what was a shadow in the days of David, in the days of Moses. And now the scripture I just read to you again shows Joshua as he transitions again to enter into his prophetic time of possessing what God has prepared for Israel, has to begin at this season. And then the same provisions, the same things that manifest in the season manifested in Joshua's time. So let's look at some of the characteristics that manifest in the season, and then we can pray that prophetically as it relates to us in this hour. Now, mindfully, I just want to encourage you. This, we can read about scriptures, but I just want to testify that personally, these windows of seasons have personally really, really blessed my personal life ever since I started praying into it. So it's not just what we read in the Bible. These are things that are very practical in my own personal life in terms of the things that they provide. So let's look at the provisions of the season and some of the authorities, the things that come with it. So let's begin with Exodus, Egypt. When this season manifested in the days of Moses, there's a few things we can see here that you tonight can begin to activate and hold as unshakable expectations and promises. One, it was the season that showed the end of bondage. It was a season that brought to an end 400 years of torture and torment over the children of Israel. It was a season that brought to an end the power of the gods of Egypt controlling the mind of the children of Israel in Egypt. It was the end of Pharaoh, physical embodiment of the principality that ruled over Egypt, torturing and ruling over the children of Israel. It was a season of their taskmasters not making them, oppressing them. It was a season that God did something that revealed the power of covenant, the power of the blood. It is very, very important, my brothers and sisters, if there is any revelation we cannot play with in the days we live in, it must be the revelation of the blood of Jesus. That's why if you fast forward, the book of Revelation 12 made it clear that every victory, every authority, anything that will overthrow the works of darkness in the last days is all going to be by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we love not our life unto death. So it shows clearly that the blood of the Lamb is going to be the power and the strength of all our everything we do, in the name of Jesus. So now, we see in this season that the blood reveal a significant aspect of how God responds to covenant. Because the Bible said that God, through the blood, made a difference between Egyptians and the children of Israel. So we must understand in the season we live in that the blood sets us apart from the people of the world. That's the blood of the blood. Then it was the blood of bulls and goats. So we also see in the season that when judgment came upon Egypt, that wherever the blood was seen, there was protection, there was provision, there was healing. There was such a blessing. But where the blood does not cover, where there is no revelation of the blood, the people suffered, their firstborn died. There was problem. So we see in that the one side of that. Then the other aspect during the Exodus was they, in this season, they not only came out of poverty, they came into wealth. Just accelerated wealth. They came into favor, uncommon favor. Their oppressors turned around and started giving them anything they asked for. They came to a very clear season where God judged darkness. He judged the gods of the Egyptians and magnified himself as the God of the children of the Hebrews. So it was a season where God revealed himself as a judge and again as a righteous judge. It was a season God brought them out of Egypt, and the Bible says there was not one feeble. So it was a season that the covenant enforces healing and healing to the people. It was a season as soon as they came out of Egypt, as soon as that they came out that night they ate unleavened bread, as soon as they came out, the Bible says there was a cloud by day and a fire by night that started going before them. And the cloud at one point will become darkness to the Egyptians and be light to the children of Israel to lead them, to show them the path. So you see, at that season, there was a manifested fresh anointing that happened to them in that season that helped them to move in a way they've never moved before. And there was an experience, a new experience of the move of God. So all this happened in this window of time and many more. Now, let's go to the same season in the days of Joshua. This very window of time also provided for Joshua, it was a miraculous move. They saw their Red Jordan part just like the Red Sea. We just read it. It all happened in this season. And Joshua was glorified, just like Moses. It was this season, the Bible says that the enemies of Israel melted. They shook. They were, fear gripped the enemy because they now see the hand of God upon the people of Israel. It was so evident. The same thing, I forgot to say, happened in Egypt. The children of Israel were so afraid of the God of Moses. They were begging Pharaoh to let these people go or they perish. They were melting. They were so afraid. Pharaoh was just terrified. At night, rose up and begged them to leave. So you see the same thing. The enemies of Israel, that in the promise, the Canaanites, this mighty forces in the promised land, were terrified. They were melting because God has arisen and is beginning to do wonders for the children of Israel, and they are beginning already to fear the God of Joshua and the people of Israel. So you see also in this season is a similar thing that happened in the area of provision. They have been in the wilderness going from one to the other. They lived eating manna. It was a time of testing. It was a time of trial. They have been in, God has been purifying their soul. God has been testing them. They went through such a season of testing that many of them never survived the testing. Like I read, some of them perished in the wilderness. And there was also a time, there was a mixed people in the wilderness where the children were not circumcised. They were not keeping the covenant of the Lord. So Joshua had to circumcise them. It reminded, meaning a remembrance of covenant. See, in Egypt, there was the sacrifice of the blood of bulls and goat. But here, it was a circumcision. Again, like God did to Abraham, they circumcised them, which was a sign of covenant. So there was a memorial of covenant here. Again, they were circumcised. God rolled away the reproach of Egypt from them. So you see here the River Jordan parted, meaning God started a miraculous, a clear miracle in their life. And then it was in this season that the Bible says the manna stopped, meaning the bread of affliction. The going from paycheck to paycheck, or going from three jobs, four jobs, you know, all the thing that they walked through to get through the time of their training, the time of their preparation, the time of their wilderness. You know, remember Isaiah says, I will cause rivers to enter the deserts at this time. So they were coming out of their wilderness, and the Bible says manna stopped, ended at that 40th year. And from this season, there was a transition. They started eating, tasting the very fruit of the promised land. It was a fresh harvest. This season is also called the beginning of harvest season. They started tasting a fresh fruit. So it was this season again, just like Moses. As soon as they came out of Egypt, the cloud by day, the fire and the angel started leading them. The same thing, immediately Joshua looked up in the season, an angel of the Lord that was assigned was revealed to Joshua, came and told him, I'm the captain of the host. You know, God sent him to lead them so that they can possess the promised land. You know, a clear leading. In other words, in this season, God also bring not just a fresh encounter with the Lord, but God refines our ability to hear God more clearly. You get a clearer direction, a clearer leading of the Spirit of God and strategy towards prophetic warfare. God starts leading you by faith. So God, the captain, led them, told them the strategy on how to possess the land. So these were windows, okay? Now, if you say, okay, these things are coincidence, okay, it was in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, at the appointed time, this same season, Jesus fulfilled also. God started a new work. Like Moses, like Joshua, here Jesus shows up in the New Testament. It was this season he brought an end to the sacrifice of bulls and goats. He ended the blood sacrifice of bulls and goats. He ended the old covenant. He became the new covenant with his own blood. It was this season he died in place, like the lamb that was shared for, you know, in the days of Moses. Now he became the lamb. He died on this very season, this Passover. And then it was in this season that the old, he died with the old so that the new can come. He says, unless a corn of wheat goes into the ground and die, he cannot bring forth new fruit. So Jesus dying brought to an end the old, and here he started resurrection, a totally new beginning. Totally something new sprung up. And that was the beginning of the church. And he's the head of that church. You know, it was this season, just like God brought to an end the rule of the gods of Egypt over the people of Israel and the rule of Pharaoh over the people of Israel, it was this very season the rule of Satan for 4,000 years came to an end. This was where Satan's, all the price of sin was paid. Everything that caused Adam to lose authority and power was satisfied. And everything of sin was paid for. And Jesus again stripped, rendered, made an open show of Satan and took the keys of hell and death and totally stripped him of every power over the children of God, over everybody that believes in the name of Jesus, except those that are in the world. So now, it was this season, again, the powers of darkness was not only humiliated, it was not only defeated, but it was rendered powerless to those who believe. It was this season there was a shift of power, a transition of power. It was this season God brought people out of darkness into light. It was this season, he says, he became poor so that we can become rich. You know, he became a slave. He died so that we can receive life. So there was a shift in this season, just like in the days of Moses, in the days of Joshua, you know, and now the days of Jesus. It was this very season, amen, the blood of Jesus will forever testify of this season, forever and ever. Not only that Satan is defeated, not only that redemption is now made, provision for redemption has been made, and God will now have sons and daughters to come to heaven, but it was this season authority, dominion was restored. And on the day of Pentecost, the church started working in it. So it was this season of harvest. The first fruit started again. Sons and daughters were born to the Lord. You know, wealth transfer from Jesus paid the, you know, became poor so that we can be. It was this season, he says, we now inherited the righteousness of God. And he took our sins and bore our sicknesses, our diseases on that cross. Again, the blood speaks about healing, about deliverance, restoration of authority, power, health, everything. It was this season. It was the spring, a new beginning, a new thing. So you can see from the old to the new, this season speaks of things we can expect God to do in our personal lives, in our family, in the atmosphere. We can pray this every day of the week. But this season reminds us, like birthday, we should never forget how what we have every day of the year. But exactly in this season, like birthday, there's an emphasis to really expect God to remember you and to remember his covenant in this season as a memorial. Amen. So I just wanted to bring some of this to your remembrance. That's what communion does. When you take communion, it says, as often as you do this, you bring to remembrance, this covenant, this New Testament, what Jesus has done. You know, he doesn't want us to forget. So we want to partner with this season. You know, when I pray with people on their birthday, you know, the prayers I pray, normally pray is like Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah, says, before you were formed in your mother's womb, God knew you. Now, while you were in your mother's womb, God had a plan for you. And he also ordained you to fulfill fulfill an assignment. All this was spoken to Jeremiah. And it happens to every one of us. So those are the prayers that we pray. And because God says it's connected to the birthing is connected to covenant, on this season, we remind God and we remind ourselves in the way of covenant. God, what does the blood of Jesus mean to me today? What does it mean to my family? What does it mean in my prayers? What does it mean right now in this season? What is it that I'm not working in? What is it I'm not receiving that I'm supposed to remind myself or activate to another level? So that's what we want to pray tonight. That God, who has made a covenant with this season, and every child of God that is connected to this season is in covenant with this season, that God will remember that covenant, you will remember that covenant, and you will agree with the Lord to release whatever he has prepared for this season and to give you a new season. And we're going to pray that everything of old, that God will cause everything that is dead, you know, to live your life and cause new things to come. That God will cause you, and you hear, you see all the things we shared, that God will cause you to go from, to transition from the dry seasons of your life to fruitful seasons, to refreshing time. That God will cause every area of lack to begin to enter to places of provision and increase. That God will begin to cause you to enter into uncommon favor. These are the provisions of this season, the blood of Jesus. That God will begin to judge every enemy that is still holding on to power over your life. Everything that is still contending that God has defeated is illegal. That God will judge every illegal power that is contending with your destiny. It has to be judged. It's a trespass. Jesus has paid a price. And if you don't contend for it, like it says in the book of Jude, contend for the faith. If you do not contend for it, then the enemy thinks he has a legal right to do whatever he likes. No, we can demand justice for God to judge, because of the blood, to judge every plan, every false authority of the enemy, every false position, anything the enemy has is stealing from us because of ignorance, has to be restored, has to be demanded for. We have to demand justice because the blood of Jesus still speaks today, and it's a blood of covenant, better than the blood of Abel. So we cannot allow the enemy to usurp unnecessary authority, unnecessary things over our personal life when a price has already been paid for us to live free, for us to walk in the things. So this is what this season reminds us of.
Just like winter, every year, winter reminds you of cold. Every year, summer reminds you of a hot weather. It's the same thing. So, so tonight we want to pray that the God that has made a covenant with you, your spirit man, the God that has given birth to you from heaven, the God that has put his DNA in your life, the God that we call our Father, he will bring justice because of his covenant over you. And now, finally, just to remind us before we pray, every year you can do this, any season when you receive it. But what will again energize your faith is what I shared last week and what most of you already know. There must be something very unusual about this season. For the blood moon that happened in 67, 68, and 49 and 50, significant things in the life of Israel to be happening in this season. So obviously, there must be something significant. So we're not only looking at a window of time that we can confidently pray into, but we're looking at a special window of season that we can expect even greater things to happen. So we're going to pray. So if you can unmute your phone, I want all of us to begin to pray. And I want you to begin to pray. You have heard what I've shared from Exodus to Joshua to Jesus. So you are, however way the Lord has inspired your heart, just begin to speak over your life. Begin to pray that God will judge every enemy, every altar that has been assigned to steal, kill, and destroy, anything that is hindering, anything that God has not permitted in your life, you know, that God will judge it in this season. Because that's this season God judges. That God, because of his blood, will put a difference between you and the world. That the world should envy us. We should not envy the world. That God will manifest a healing. God will manifest the riches. That God will bring to an end the manna. The manna is the provisions of the times of testing. You know, that you start entering into the provisions of your promised land. You know, that pray that God will remember your children. That's part of being fruitful. That, you know, pray over them. Pray over your marriages. Whatever you have received tonight by revelation about this window of season, just begin to pray. You know where your shoe pinches you. You know where you are. So begin to covenant with God. Yes, just pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, Lord. Reba mama shata. Yekiriyebokosa. Yes, just pray. Just pray prophetically over your life. Speak into this season over your life. Command this season to manifest what God has for you. Command this season to change the season of your life into a very favorable season. Command this season to really prosper you. Command this season to bring noticeable practical change. Command this season. Come in agreement with God's provision, God's covenant for this season. Just continue. Yes. Thank you, Father. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Makasata. Roko sete mankasa. Robo shikiri bikasa. Yes, Lord. Roba baba shiki mandere bikaya. Yekere me soto mokuri bakansi. Mandere me sika mandere bikaya. Yes, kere me kesunto robo shikama. Yekandara bashika. Yes, Lord. Moris kitara mambosa. Yekere me soka mande. Mokuri boka kaisa. Yisonto mondere biya kaisa. Yes, Father. Yes, Santoro Mokisande. Ile Koriambo Kakaisa. Jesus. Mondorobosa. Rikindarima Kakaisa. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Mokoriabokosa. Yengaisa. Thank you, Father. Yosonto Makariabosa. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Now, I will encourage you to really take time tonight to, if you've written these things down, to pray, take this week to just really, really pray in this season, war into this season, wrestle into this season, contend for these promises of God, really battle for a shift in this window of time, because the eyes of the Lord and the blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God celebrated in heaven in this season, is a memorial. Your prayers are in direct alignment with what heaven is doing at this hour. Amen? Because the Lamb is forever celebrated, especially in this season, both on heaven and on earth. So please do not stop tonight. We just barely started praying tonight. So just after this time, take time this week and really push into this season. Take communion as you pray. Do what you can. And I promise you, this is not just words. If it's benefited me so much that I really believe that if you taste it once, you will never play with the seasons of the Lord again. So just really press into this season. Wrestle with God in this season because of the blood that has made provision for a change in your life. And this is a season to do that. So, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. I thank you because you are a covenant Father. Father, you said that your covenant you will never break, never. And the word of this covenant that proceeds from your mouth, you never change, you never alter, because you cannot change. You have exalted your word, your covenant word above your name. So, Father, we thank you for these provisions you have made through the blood of your Son, Jesus, that we can truly stand upon his righteousness. We can stand upon the price he has paid. We can stand upon the provisions of this blood. We can truly stand upon the authority, the dominion, the everything that is in this blood that has given us access to use his name over our name before your throne. Father, I thank you that you, O God, will remember everyone on this line and their families in this season. Father, whatever you have prepared that the eyes have not seen, that ears have not heard, neither has entered the heart of man. Father, in this season, this beginning of your prophetic year, Father, I pray that the blood of Jesus will make a difference in the life of your people, that the blood will be remembered, that the blood will be the mark of defense, the mark of covering, the mark of provision, the mark of victory. Father, that the blood will be a covenant memorial, that authority has been restored into the hands of believers. I thank you, Father, that this blood will be a token sign between your people that they are in communion with you. They are sons of God, daughters of God. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will not allow this season to pass without awakening the full provisions of what you have done through your Son, that you have handed to us freely, that we will not in any way limit or diminish the very price of the cross for us to enjoy the provisions of heaven. I pray that this will be awakened in the heart of your people, in the area of prayer, in the area of relationship with you, in the area of taking authority over the works of darkness in our generation, over the salvation of our family members. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will truly encounter your people, activate faith in the blood, in the name, in your word, in this hour. I pray, oh God, that you will favor your people, that many will begin to see a difference coming out from darkness to light. Father, coming out from a place of giving up in every affliction to a place of fruitfulness. Any area they felt dryness or weariness, that they would begin to receive refreshing. Father, I pray that they will begin to enjoy, the eat the fruit of the land by the blood that has made provisions for this. I pray that this season will bring a new day, a light, a very new thing, a refreshing. Father, I pray that covenants will be renewed in marriages and refreshed. I thank you, Father, that barrenness will receive fruitfulness. I thank you that this season, many on this line will testify of your faithfulness. I pray that whatever happens, oh God, as we go into these seasons of Israel and the nations and all that is happening in our generation, I pray that this memorial of the blood covenant will be, oh God, a token, a sign, a seal upon the heart of your people, never to fear the season, but to walk with boldness, knowing that they are, their back is covered. We thank you because you are faithful. We thank you because you are a covenant keeper. We thank you because you have finished this work on the cross, and by faith we enter into it. We live in it. We give you glory tonight for this altar that you continue to sustain. Keep us united. Keep us focused. Father, continue to direct us, lead us. And in this season, may your people have a fresh encounter, a clarity of hearing, and be led by your spirit as we enter these seasons. We give you glory, O God, that your testimonies will overwhelm us as we look to you in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.